Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi friends, how are you? I hope this finds you in good health and secure. Last few videos I've mentioned, maybe it's an exhortation, that you know, profoundly know, on a cellular level, that each of your daimoku, though yes, we practice directly to invoke Buddha-ness, for nothing else than to let our Buddha-ness guide involve, be in every moment of our life process, our momentum, to guide, to understand with clarity the nature of all phenomena, all life, to open those gates of appreciation and amazement without being, or to be released, I should say, from the samsaric concerns that are unnecessary. They just plague our minds and our experience of life, right? Buddhahood doesn't come to us, it comes from us. It's already inherent. We simply need to bring it to the fore, yes? Now, however this works, this next chapter on perseverance falls right into this discourse. And I was having a discussion with a practitioner yesterday evening, and she asked me about the fifth meditation in Gangyo. Specifically, not the part about the deceased, although we've talked about that in the last couple of videos, but the last part that says, lastly, I focus my thoughts on the teachings of the Threefold Lotus Sutra to spread throughout the world and bring peace and happiness to all mankind and to all universes. And I thought, how myoho? Because it's exactly in concert with what this next chapter of the Lotus Sutra is talking about. And let's take a moment. I'm going to read paragraph or two, so I can really connect these, so we can sort something out. Because I know when I first started practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism and Gangyo, that ending part of that meditation. And by the way, they're meditations. They're not prayers, right? Prayers are about beseeching from outside of us answers, somehow come to us. We don't pray in Buddhism, not true Buddhism. There's no prayer. It's not a religion. We manifest. That's what Buddhism is about, manifesting our highest potential, our Buddha nature, already inherent. It's not coming from anywhere. We don't drink it in with some kind of tea. It's not given to us. We already have it. We just need to, hey, wake up, pay attention, Buddha-ness. That's what we do when we chant, right? We awaken our Buddha mind. So, chapter 13, perseverance. At that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Baisajya Raja and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Mahapritbana made this declaration in the presence of the Buddha together with 2,000 Bodhisattvas. O Bhagavat, we entreat you not to be concerned, since after the Buddha's parinirvana, we will preserve, recite, and teach this Myoho Renge Kyo, this Lotus Sutra. In the troubled world to come, sentient beings will have hardly any roots of good merit, but will have excessive pride and will be greedy to receive offerings. Well, that's a pretty accurate description of our world today, yeah? They will increase their roots of bad merit, in other words, chasing samsaric goals, and thus will be far away from liberation, because they're going to dig themselves, we are going to dig ourselves deeper into samsaric distractions, preoccupations, ownership, control, avarice, stupidity, all of it, right? It will be difficult to lead and inspire them, being so distracted. Therefore, we will produce the power of great patience and recite, preserve, teach, and copy this Lotus Sutra, as well as pay homage in various ways, even willingly giving up our bodies and lives to support it, right? Then in the assembly, 500 arhats who had been received their predictions of future Buddhahood addressed the Buddha saying, O Bhagavat, we also declare that in other lands we will extensively teach this sutra. Do you see the connection with that little stanza in the fifth meditation? I mean, it's almost word for word, yeah? Moreover, 8,000 of those who had received their predictions, including those who had more to learn and those who did not, rose from their seats and with their palms pressed together faced the Buddha and made this declaration, O Bhagavat, we also will extensively teach this sutra in other lands. Why is this? Because in the Saha world there are many erring people with excessive pride and superficial virtue, those who are quick to anger, deceitful, and untrue. So I'm going to pause there and go back to this fifth meditation. Just want to make sure everything's recording. Having a little bit of a lighting situation this morning, but I think it's okay. Lastly, I focus my thoughts. It's what we do when we meditate, yeah? On the teachings of the Threefold Lotus Sutra to spread throughout the world. Now, when I first started reading that, being a samsaric being and not having practiced all that long, for quite a bit of time, I just read that as meaning we have to teach people this Lotus Sutra. Isn't that how it sounds when you first read it? But I want to entreat you to listen carefully and give you a better understanding of what this means. Maybe I should rewrite it. But pay attention. It says, I focus my thoughts on the teachings, not of teaching. Why is that important? On the teachings of the Threefold Lotus Sutra. Not the words. What is the Threefold Lotus Sutra teaching? It's the Dharma, is it not? Isn't all of the teachings about the Dharma? The Threefold Lotus Sutra is about the specific method for self-realization of the Dharma, quote-unquote, experience of Buddhahood. I focus my thoughts on the teachings of the Threefold Lotus Sutra to spread. Not for me to spread, but to spread throughout the world and bring peace and happiness to all mankind and all universes. The cosmos. So, what this says, in other words, is that in this meditation, now that I've considered the previous part, thoughts of love and appreciation for my deceased relatives and all who have passed away, not just mine, but all in the sense that we're all the same energy, whether or not you've specifically impacted my karmic life intimately or abstractly, especially these individuals, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, that's when we consider all of those we've connected with, whether they're parents, siblings, children, friends, workers, people we've passed in the mall. Yeah. All of those we've seen or come into some sort of, no matter how subtle, contact with the other drivers on the highway in our area. They're all here for the connectivity of our energies, similar energies working through our momentum of the engine of life. We consider all of that in this memorial thoughts while we ring the bell. And once we've opened that portal of meditation, we consider and we expand even further to the cosmos, to everyone of mankind and to the cosmos. That this energy that we instantiate, we invoke, this Buddha-ness, this clarity, that it not only impacts our karma, our enlightenment and realization, that it influences all of the karma and experiences of the engine of life around us. For those who have, as the chapter says, more to learn, or not more to learn, whatever their state of understanding of Buddhism or complete ignorance of Buddhism, that we impact their lives toward enlightenment. This is important to understand not only for your practice, our personal practice, yes? But ultimately, is that not also what Kozen Rufu is? World peace is. It is this infection we want to create of the consciousness of the sentient minds, wherever they are, of this path to an enlightened being, living, the engine of life. And the more you move toward that perception, that understanding, that clarity, the very idea of ending it, the violence toward it, it becomes unthinkable. That's how we get to world peace, my friends. And this is why I've been saying, and maybe some of you were confused when I said it, that each of your daimoku, though you may be inspired and even vociferously staring your mandala down, instantiate Buddha-ness, I need to have that experience now, immediately. I need to feel the calming, the insight, the wisdom, just the experience of Buddha. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Not give it to me now. Manifest the strength to instantiate it. Hello, wake up. Me, my Buddha nature, take over. That's how much I'm dedicated to having Buddha, my Buddha, guide me. My Buddha-ness guide me. My state of being to be enlightened. Like if you're competing in a run and you can see the finish line ahead and you hear the footfalls of the people around you competing for the same thing. and you feel like collapsing because you've used everything up, but you don't, because the finish line is right there. Namu myoho renge kyo. Yeah. That kind of single-mindedly seeking to meet Buddha. Nichiren knew what he was talking about. That kind of drive, that kind of determination, when you get that renge aha moment. Ah, I see this now. I feel this experience. You walk differently. You see differently. You speak differently. You hear differently. Everything is affected. How can that not affect your environment? We're one. The illusion of separated self and environment is an ego problem. The self is the environment at once, engaged in, within. So how can it not affect everyone in your environment, everyone you know? How far can you spread that energy? Is there a limit? So whether you understand it fully or not, your desire, your ichinen, your dedication to awakening, self-realized Buddhahood affects the world around you and by extension, the world at large. And by further extension, the cosmos. The Threefold Lotus Sutra to spread throughout the world and bring peace and happiness to all mankind and all universes. That's a little tiny paragraph, right? One sentence. It's a loaded sentence though, right? So I have videos on this channel, you can look them up, where I've talked about the meditations. There's a few of them. But today I just wanted to talk about that one sentence. Why? Because I want you to understand where it comes from as we read this chapter on perseverance. Oh, incredible dry mouth today. My apologies. So let's continue. Thereupon the Buddha's aunt, the nun Mahaparajpati Gautami, with 6,000 nuns, some of whom had more to learn and some who did not, rose from their seats and with their palms pressed together, gazed attentively at the Buddha, never turning their eyes away. Sorry. Then the Bhagavat spoke to Mahaprajapati Gautami, saying, "Why are you anxiously staring at the Tathagata? Are you thinking that I have not given you your prediction of highest complete enlightenment?" Oh, here we go again with that remnant of ego. "Oh, Mahaprajapati Gautami, I have previously said that all of the Shravakas would receive their predictions. Now, if you wish to know your prediction, I'll indulge you. You are my aunt. I will tell you that in the future you will become a great expounder of the Dharma, taught by 68,000 Kodisa Buddhas. These 6,000 nuns, some of whom have more to learn and some who do not, will all become expounders of the Dharma together. In this way, you will gradually be able to complete the Bodhisattva path and become a Buddha, called Shavarupa Samdarsana. A Tathagata, completely enlightened, perfect in knowledge and conduct, well departed, knower of the world, unsurpassed, tamer of humans, teacher of devas and humans, Buddha Bhagavat. O Maharajapati Gautami, this Buddha, Sarvarupa Samdarsana, will give predictions of highest complete enlightenment one by one to bodhisattvas totaling 6,000 in number." Then the nun Yasodhara, the mother of Rahula, thought, while giving the predictions, the only name Bhagavat did not mention was mine. Will it never end? All right. The Buddha, addressing Yasodhara, said, in the future, you will cultivate the bodhisattva practices of teaching of hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of Buddhas. You will become a great expounder of the Dharma and gradually complete the Buddha path. In a land called Bhadra, you will become a Buddha called... Wow. Yeah, Buddha called Wow. I'm going to try it once, okay? Rasmi Sata Sahasrapari Purnadavaja. Tathagata, completely enlightened, perfect in knowledge and conduct, well departed, knower of the world, unsurpassed, tamer of humans, teacher of devas and humans, Buddha Bhagavat. This Buddha's lifespan will be for immeasurable, incalculable kalpas. At that time, the nun, Mahaprajapati Gautami, and the nun Yasodhara, together with all their attendants, all rejoiced greatly at having attained such an unprecedented experience. Well, they haven't attained it yet, but the prediction is an attainment of experience. In the presence of the Buddha, they immediately spoke in verse, saying, O Bhagavat, as a great leader, you bring ease to the devas and humans. Having heard our predictions, our minds are at peace, and we are content. Who is going to give you your prediction? Right? This idea of the Buddha giving you your prediction is really, it's a story, it's a setup for you to understand that when you connect with your Gohonzon mind, you are affording yourself that permission, that prediction. You will, and this is Renge, you will experience it in the same moment that you're asking for it. That is the purpose of chanting. And with Nichiren's wonderful, prescient tool of this mandala, we have the perfect focal point to take our samsaric skandhas, those five senses that Shakyamuni keeps talking about here, getting in the way, and use them to focus in on our opening eye. Our Buddha eye. He calls it the Gohonzon, but it's a mental opening that then affords us this self-realization, like the lotus flower, the Renge. The blossoming puts forth the seeds at the same time for every future moment of being. The 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. It all comes together very neatly. Having spoken this verse, all the nuns addressed the Buddha, saying, O Bhagavat, we also will extensively expound this sutra in other lands. There's the fifth meditation again. We will set about understanding immediately that the bodhisattva path is not just the selfish path, although there's still some indications of it in here, right? Of self-realization, but having attained that realization, we won't be able to stop the motivation to continue forth that influence, that teaching, so that other sentient beings can raise their realized living process of life, their experience of living to this highest possible degree. It simply has to happen as a part of our attainment, right? All dedicating, as Shakyamuni was saying in the previous chapters, who will be able to keep this alive throughout time, right? Then the Bhagavat saw 80 myriad of kodas of Nayutas, of Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, all of whom were at the stage of non-retrogression. They had turned the irreversible wheel of the Dharma and attained the power of recollection. They'd well memorized all of the sutras. Arising from their seats, they went before the Buddha with their palms pressed together and with this wholehearted thought, "If the Bhagavat commands us to preserve and teach this sutra, then we will extensively expound this Dharma exactly as the Buddha has taught." Now, why should the Buddha have to exhort them to do it? Aren't they really just as a result of accomplishing it? Right? There's still this odd little hesitation. What's that about? They also thought the Buddha now keeps silent and does not command us. What should we do? Are you really that authoritarian? Do you not have within your own heart and mind the simple desire, which is what we're made of, to realize your most vast potential? Isn't that a motivator? Do you have to actually be told? Be the best you can be? Oh, okay, I guess I'll do that now. Wait, really? But this seems to be a repetition, right? This is an indication of how dysfunctional and difficult it is for us to let go our addiction to samsara. Like I said before, it's the most powerful drug. Heroin is aspirin compared to samsara. Then all of the bodhisattvas, respecting the Buddha's intention, okay, also wanting to fulfill their original vow, uttered a lion's roar in the presence of the Buddha and declared, "O Bhagavat, after the Tathagata's parinirvana, we will roam throughout the worlds of the 10 directions, enabling sentient beings to copy, preserve, and recite this Lotus Sutra, and to explain its meaning, practice it according to the Dharma, and remember it correctly. This will all be due to the Buddha's majestic power, finally proving themselves to be accomplished Mahasattva Bodhisattvas." They didn't need to be asked. They just realized that they needed to take responsibility. Congratulations. "O Bhagavat, we entreat you to protect us from afar while we are in other quarters." In other words, keep that Buddha mind alive while we traverse, course through samsaric physical worlds. Yeah? Let our Buddha-ness be our armor. Immediately after that, all of the bodhisattvas spoke these verses in unison. "We entreat you not to be concerned, because we will extensively teach in the fearful, troubled world after the Buddha's parinirvana. We will be patient with those who are ignorant, with those who disparage others with evil words, or who attack us with sticks and swords. Monks in this troubled world will have false wisdom and be deceitful. They will think they have attained what they have not, and their minds will be full of conceit." Ego. "Then there will be those who dwell in tranquil forests wearing rags with the thought that they alone practice the true path." Right? Like the samurai who go into Satori. Or arhats in most cases, yeah? "And those..." And who, you remember the poem of the rhinoceros? This was the goal of earlier Buddhists in their minds, to wander the world as a rhinoceros. Consider that. "With the thought that they alone practice the true path, and who look down upon those who lead worldly lives." There will be those who teach the Dharma to lay people only out of greed for offerings. Newsflash. Yet they will be respected in the world, and as if they were arhats endowed with the six transcendent powers. Not completely enlightened, but enlightened to some degree, yeah. That's how they'll be treated anyway. The minds of such people are in error. They are always thinking about worldly matters, and they enjoy pointing out faults, playing the role of the forest dwellers. Thus they will say such things as, all of these monks here teach heretical doctrines, because they are greedy for profit. They have fabricated this sutra to deceive the people of the world, and they explain this sutra out of desire for fame. Now, if you want to understand more about that, just read Nichiren. Yeah? Nichiren points this out all the time. Certainly, by sect has historical documents to prove that they've written in their own portions into the Lotus Sutra to make it sound more like what they want it to be, what edifies their point of view. And most people at the time were illiterate. They didn't know read and write. A lot of them did later on, of course, certainly by Nichiren's time, but earlier, they just did what they were told. There's that authoritarian thing again. They always want to slander us in the great assembly. They slander us to the kings, ministers, Brahmins, householders, and others, other monks, saying that we are evil. They say, these people of false views who teach heretical doctrines, heretical only because it doesn't fall under the auspices of their desires. Since we revere the Buddha, we will be patient with their wickedness. They will mockingly address us, saying, all you Buddhas! We will be patient with these scornful words. In the troubled world of the age of the decadent Dharma, right? Mapo, the era of the danger of losing this Myoho Renge Kyo teaching, because of all of this avarice and greed and there are many fearful things. People possessed with or by evil spirits, in other words, destructive thoughts, will scorn and slander us. But we shall wear the armor of patience because we trust and revere the Buddha. Always rely on Buddha-ness, yours as well as all around you. But yours is foremost. Without your Buddha-ness, everything else is weakened. Everyone else is weakened. Yeah, sounds like responsibility big time, yeah? But this is the age we live in. We have to be focused. We have to be, again, as Nichiren said, single-mindedly desiring to meet Buddha. Focused on meeting Buddha. Our Buddha, yeah? Our Buddha being the Dharma, the experience of, right? And we will persevere under these difficulties in order to teach this sutra. We will not be attached to our bodies or lives. We will, and that's a reference against to the skandhas, right? The pleasures of samsara. It's not that you can't have the pleasures. It's that you shouldn't be attached to, require them, be fallen under the drug of, the influence of. Right? It's not about abstinence. We only desire the highest path. As far as desires go, which is what samsaric beings are made of, we choose to direct that energy toward instantiating and maintaining Buddha-ness. Nothing wrong with that. In the future, we will preserve what the Buddha has entrusted us with. The Bhagavad himself must know that the erring monks in the troubled world will not understand the Dharma taught by the Buddha through skillful means, according to what is appropriate to sentient beings. They will utter evil words with angry countenances, and they will repeatedly expel us and keep us away from the monasteries and stupas. There will be many evils such as this. We will all endure in these matters because we remember the Buddha's decree. If there are any people seeking this Dharma in villages or cities, we will go there and teach the Dharma entrusted to us by the Buddha, because we are the Bhagavat's ambassadors. Wherever we go, we have nothing to fear. We will skillfully teach the Dharma. We entreat you, O Buddha, to be at ease. In the presence of the Bhagavat and all of the Buddhas who have come from the 10 directions, we make this declaration, O Buddha, you know our intentions. And that closes the chapter on perseverance. Now, I don't know if you know what happens in the next couple of chapters. I mean, these are very dedicated bodhisattva, and it's wonderful to hear all of this, but the plot will twist. Anyway, we will save that for another video. We're going to enter the 14th chapter, Ease in Practice. Interesting. Seems to be flip-flopping a little bit, but ease in practice. So, again, the meditations aren't just idle words thrown together to give you something to pause and think about. I mean, they are that, but understand that what you're pausing and thinking about is your actual immersion into the engine of life. And that engine includes the cosmos, let alone the people that you encounter. So yeah, every daimoku you chant has that resonance. It's the exact same energy that all phenomena is instantiated from, moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, rebirth, blah, blah, blah. Birth, death, rebirth, death, rebirth, death. I'm going to perfect that one day. Please enjoy your practice. Know how profound it is. It's the ultimate self-respect, isn't it? The dignity. Namo Myoho-renge Kyo. Thank you for your support. Even if all you can do is like and subscribe, it affects the Google and the YouTube algorithms. It is a bodhisattva effort to expand this sangha, so thank you. Thank you for your practice. That's an effort to do this too. And if you can do more, you buy an ebook or a print book. Yeah, there's a lot of free information available. Podcasts are all free. All these videos are free. Make use of them. ThreefoldLotus.com, tons of free information there and links to everything. And patrons through Patreon and or directly through PayPal. You honor our sangha. So thank you so much for your support. I wish you great health, love, security. Be kind to yourself. Take care of your health. And I'll see you in the next one, okay? Bye for now. Thank you.